someone's got to know. Like, the American people have to know that Google is bold-faced lying to them, and they got a monopoly in all our information. Like, everyone goes to Google search. Like, I was like, this is literally the end of democracy and the republic if someone doesn't speak out.
Welcome to another episode of Conversations That Matter. Thanks for joining us, folks, here on The New American. And we have a very special guest with us today. You're all, I'm sure, if you've been following our reporting, very concerned about the big tech manipulation of the internet, the censorship, the rigging of the algorithms. And we have a wonderful guest to talk about that today. His name is Zach Voorhees. He was a senior software engineer at YouTube and Google for almost a decade. He's been involved with Google Earth. He's been involved with YouTube, Xbox, and other products. And while working at YouTube, he found out that Google was censoring what they described as fake news. And as Zach dug into this, he found out that fake news basically meant things that actually happened, but just didn't agree with Google's understanding of things. He found out also that they had created an artificial intelligence system that was classifying all of the data available to Google search. And the reason they were doing this, he says, is because they wanted to use their AI system to re-rank the entire internet according to Google's corporate values, which at this point we now know quite a bit about. And then in June 2019, he finally resigned from Google. He took with him almost 1,000 pages of their internal documents, headed up to the Department of Justice, and through Project Veritas, tried to inform the American people, the people of the world, about Google's just incredibly Orwellian censorship regime. Zach, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for joining us. For the folks who aren't familiar with the incredible work that you did leaking and getting this information out there, give people an overview. What was Google doing? What are they doing? And why should we be concerned?
So I want to start off by saying that I used to really love the company, and it was basically my dream come true to work there. But all that sort of turned into a nightmare when, you know, the wrong presidential candidate won the 2016 election. And what actually kicked it off was remember the news that Jack Posobiec said about Pizzagate? Well, if you look at the graph of Google Trends for fake news and Pizzagate, you'll see that they happen exactly within 6 hours of each other. That Pizzagate scandal kicked off an entire move by YouTube and Google in order to classify what fake news was. And so 1 month after that election, in December, I noticed that this paper appeared, which was, we need to classify fake news in order to protect our users. And so I looked into this document, and what I found was that in 4 out of the 5 examples, they had to do with Hillary Clinton, like somebody being murdered in the FBI as part of a cover up or something. And what was interesting is that technically the sources that they were listing was fake news, but it was these mysterious blogs that exist out there. No one knows why they're pumping, but they're like pumping out really high quality disinformation. It was like one of these websites. And obviously no one's reading this stuff, but what I found interesting is that the information that they were basically saying was fake news was actually so close to actual news events that had happened. I started to realize, well, maybe the real news could be taken out as like collateral damage. And so I decided that I needed to investigate further into the company and what exactly, you know, their definition of fake news was. And if there was a definition of fake news, what would be the thing that would execute on that in order to obviously suppress the rankings of certain websites that they found undesirable. As I dug in, I found out that there was like an example of ratings that they, you know, should apply to different news organizations. Right there at the top was CNN, you know, the New York Times, the paper of record. And then at the bottom was like, you know, Next News Network, which was the largest conservative YouTube channel at the time. Alex Jones, you know, was down there, along with like Breitbart. And so it was very obvious with this like stack ranking that, you know, if you were part of the establishment left, you were trustworthy. If you were against that and counter narrative, then, you know, you were at the bottom or had negative information content. And so I started to, you know, realize, okay, well, they've got all these rankings. What's the thing that's going to be able to execute this re-ranking of the internet? I originally thought it was Project Dragonfly because that was like really popular in the news. But when I dug in, I realized that there was absolutely nothing there. Like there was no trace that such a program ever existed. And Google leaves a lot of indications, you know, badges, kind of like social media posts you can do within the company. There was nothing about Project Dragonfly at all. But while searching for that, I stumbled upon, you know, Google's real AI manipulation program. And when I saw it, I looked at the name and I realized, oh, this is a perfect name. This is exactly what they would call it. And the name of that program was called Machine Learning Fairness. And what's interesting about this program, Machine Learning Fairness, is that in the justification for it within the company, you know, they were talking about fairness and how we need to have equity. But what's also interesting is the fact that there was like this this slide, and I found it in multiple different, you know, presentations within the company that said that people were programmed, and it was actually a four-step process. And that process starts with like generation of data, aggregates it, filters and re-ranks. And the last step, people like us are programmed, and then that cycle repeats. And through this controlling of the information landscape, it was Google's intention written down that they were going to move everyone to the left via controlling through its digital means, the Overton window of society. So I realized that this was an existential threat to society. I was like, this is going to be really bad if I blow the whistle on them, but someone's got to know. Like the American people have to know that Google is bold-faced lying to them, and they got a monopoly in all our information. Like everyone goes to Google search. Like I was like, this is literally the end of democracy and the Republic if someone doesn't speak out. So a bunch of things happen. I'm going to have to cut that. But what in November of 2017 was when I decided to search out, and I was able to find Project Veritas. And from that, the rest is history. We blew the whistle in 2019, and now the world knows, you know, with the release of 950 pages, that machine learning fairness exists. It's what's making all of Google products suck really bad with, you know, how else can I say it? But just absolutely terrible. And only by being aware of it can we start seeking out alternatives and, you know, using the power of the market to try to defeat this monopolistic re-ranking of the internet.
Yeah, what you're saying, Zach, is so interesting because me on the outside, I noticed this process happening. I watched it happen as they were trying to bury different publications that I write for, including The New American. I had an article that I wrote on Agenda 2030 back in 2015 that was the number one Google result whenever you would put in Agenda 2030, UN Agenda 2030, Sustainable Development Goals, even above the UN. And this was true for years. And then now you almost can't find that article. They've practically delisted The New American magazine from their search engine. You really have to look hard to find it. And then just recently, I got an audio clip from Melissa Fleming. I want to air this in just a moment. She is the head of UN communications, very senior official at the UN. And she's out there bragging about how the United Nations now has a partnership with Google to suppress views on the climate change debate that the UN considers undesirable. So I want to air that clip real quick, and people can hear this for themselves.
You know, we partnered with Google, for example. If you Google climate change, you will, at the top of your search, you will get all kinds of UN resources. We started this partnership when we were shocked to see that when we'd Googled climate change, we were getting incredibly distorted information right at the top. So we're becoming much more proactive. You know, we own the science, and we think that the world, you know, should know it, and the platforms themselves also do. But again, it's a huge, huge challenge that I think all sectors of society need to be very active in.
I mean, that's incredible that you have an institution like Google that has, as you pointed out, almost a monopoly on search engine capacity and many other sectors of the internet, now openly partnering with an organization to suppress views of scientists, of experts. who it doesn't agree with. Zach, I want to ask, you know, what do we do about this? I mean, because we're talking about election manipulation on a massive scale. I'd love your thoughts on what Dr. Epstein revealed. He argued that, and he, I guess, said he was a Hillary Clinton supporter, but that their manipulation of the algorithm shifted millions of votes to the Democrat Party. So they're undermining, as you pointed out, our democratic system, our republic. They're shifting the views of the American people. Where does this lead to, and how do we stop it?
Well, I think that AI is changing the game, and AI is obviously, it surprised us in 2022, right? Like, it just kind of came out of nowhere, and everyone sort of woke up and said, oh man, like the whole industry of artistry, like digital artistry and paintings, about to be wiped out now, right? And the only people that are going to be able to have jobs in that are going to be ones that know how to do prompt engineering. And so what I think is happening right now is that we're coming to a fundamental contradiction society where, you know, AI is going to be able to replace a whole bunch of human labor. And it's going to start happening really fast. I think 2023 is going to be a huge year for that. And it's going to be like, whoa, hang on. And I think that what's happening is that the people that are running society see what's going to happen. And so they're preparing us for a transition into a new system. Unfortunately, that system means that they've got pretty much all of the economic capacity of the economy. And we're going to be kind of like worthless eaters, kind of like the Yuval Harari sort of prediction. Like, he's spot on. And that's really scary. And I think that, because here's the thing, the Roman Empire was pretty awful, right? But they valued people, because those people, through their labor, was the entire military of the Roman Empire carried on. The problem with this new economy is that they don't need people. People are a liability. You want robots. You want robots and artificial intelligence. And that fourth industrial revolution is going to be like a Cambrian explosion of productivity. And so the elites see that. They see the population as being obsolete, being worthless eaters, consuming, you know, parts of their society. Like, the empire of the future will not be the one that has the most people. It's going to be the one that has the most robots. And so where does that leave humanity? And this is kind of dark, but there's no other way that I see around that. We have an inherent contradiction in our economy. Humans are no longer at the center of it. And I think that what we're seeing playing out right now is the end game. And as the end game gets rolled out, people are waking up, and it's a really pessimistic future, but they're waking up and they're like, oh, wait, we don't like this. And now what you're seeing is you're seeing pushback. You're seeing pushback through these digital hive minds like Twitter, Reddit, Facebook. It's everywhere. This is a process where people are waking up. And really, it's our fight of this generation, because if we don't fight back against this and we let them have their agenda, it's going to be sort of an extinction level event for humankind.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that's exactly what I've been seeing. I've been listening to this Yuval Noah Harari. I mean, the stuff the guy says is absolutely terrifying. But you're right. Some of these technologies are moving so rapidly. Zach, I want to ask just real simply, can Google be stopped? And if so, how do you think it can be stopped?
Look, I think that the problem with Google is a problem with a lot of socialist countries, is that they've cut back all the feedback mechanisms and silenced dissent. They pretty much purge the country, and they're infiltrated with Chinese spies. Look, if you want to solve the whole, you know, Google problem right away, you got to get national security involved, because it's littered with Chinese spies. Like, it's infiltrated just deeply to the core of the company. That would be the most forceful, immediate way to do it. Longer term, I see Google collapsing. I see that their products just keep on getting worse. Mm-hmm. Their ad business is probably being supplemented by a surveillance agreement with China. And so I think that if we start getting, I mean, look, you can just go to YouTube and download any video that you want using specialized tools. Like, why do you think that is? Right? Like, I think that the reason why YouTube allows all of its videos to be copied is because China's running a data collection program on the total sum output of creativity coming out on all the platforms. And I think that it's possible that YouTube and Google are receiving money from this from the back door. So look, if you know, if the Dems and the Republicans wanted to fix this right away, they just get national security involved, start doing an audit. And like Elon Musk said at Twitter, it's way worse than what you think it is. And the deeper you go, the worse it gets. And I'm telling you, there's a rot deep within Google. And if national security starts doing a review, it's going to be ugly.
Fascinating. And maybe with the new Republican Congress, some action will happen on that front. Zach, I want to ask you about Twitter. Twitter is kind of like the hot story in the tech world right now. Elon Musk certainly disrupting things in a big way. He's said publicly that AI is going to be the equivalent of summoning a demon, was exactly his terminology. And mm-hmm. he's reinstated Trump. I mean, he's really taking like a sledgehammer to the rigging, the censorship. And of course, there's been a lot of pushback. A lot of advertisers have fled. What do you think about what Elon Musk is doing at Twitter? Where do you think this goes from here? And do you think the establishment will be able to stop him in what he's intending to do?
Yeah. So first off, I want to say that right now it's very popular in the news, like, oh, Twitter's imploding. They're being dropped by their advertisers. I'm in the product space. I own some stuff within the startup space here in California. And I can tell you that no one advertises on Twitter. And the reason why no one advertises on Twitter, at least any of the startups, is because the ROI is just awful. There's just, you don't get your money back. So no one wants to pump any money into it. Where they're pumping all their money into right now is Facebook. Facebook is the king of all of that. It's amazing. And the reason why is because their ads are very impactful. And people also, you know, advertise on TikTok because it's got a similar story. Look, this is a solvable problem. Elon Musk is going to come in there. He's a product guy. He's going to give them exactly what he wants. He's already doing it right now. And he's going to revamp that ad platform. And what's going to happen is you're going to get a Cambrian explosion of people coming onto the platform in order to advertise. Startups, mid-size, large companies, you name it, all of them are going to come because they want to get the eyeballs and they want to get the influence. The fact that Pfizer and all these other companies are spending so much money on poorly performing ads seems like an influence operation.
Interesting. Yeah. And I guess they're rolling in taxpayer money right now, how they can afford to throw some around on poor ROI ads. Zach, what are some of the alternatives out there? You mentioned market solutions to this. You know, I've been avoiding Google like the plague for years and years. So I've got some ideas on alternatives for search engines and things. But you're obviously an expert in this field. You've been in this field for a long time. Are there any other platforms, companies, services that you recommend, that you like, that can help people avoid Google, avoid giving their data to Google, avoid being manipulated by Google's algorithms?
Yeah, well, if you want to defeat the censorship, you know, there are some tools that are coming up. You know, for example, I use the search.brave.com search engine instead of Google or DuckDuckGo, which is getting corrupted by Bing. And for the news, I just want to push my own site, which is blast.video, not .com, blast.video. It's the best place for news on the internet 24/7. And the reason why is because it does something called aggregation. It crawls through the different video sites to get new videos from people that are censored and not so censored, right? And it brings it all together and centralizes it into one place. I want this to be a model for how other people can defeat the censorship. The reason why this defeats the censorship, because it de-silos content from the host. Right. So, you know, right now, if you're a content creator, you can be on YouTube, you can be on Rumble, you can be on BitChute. And so when users want to get all of everyone's opinion, they got to play this like social media shuffle where they go to this site and type in this search term and, oh, that person's got a video. And then, you know, they'll go through the whole table of different people. And then at the end of the day, they do it all over again. Right. It's this social media shuffle that's so painful. And so what I realized is that, like, look, why does it matter if someone's on BitChute or YouTube? They're just like video hosts. And so we should just take all these videos from these different hosts and combine them. And I think that this aggregation is really key. Like, Google search engine is an aggregator, right? Like, it aggregates content and then sorts it for you. And there's no reason that people can't sort of retrofit the internet with aggregation. You know, like, let's say microblogging, like, you know, a site could, you know, grab the information from Twitter, Mastodon, Gab, Parler, Getter, Truth Social, and then create sort of like a metaverse where all those, you know, sort of seamlessly coexist together. And it doesn't matter where they are, because really at the end of the day, we're trying to follow other people. And I think that a lot of the problems with this right now is that people think that it's all about the social media network and the platform so that their team can speak, right? Like Truth Social's like this. They think it's about their guys being able to speak, but in reality, it's about creating a hive mind intelligence. That's why social media is so addicting. It's this collectivism that we can all get together in a cybernetic metaverse and we can exchange ideas without gatekeepers, and we can discover how society actually runs and operates, and that the media is lying and here's the actual truth, which is really addicting when you get in there. And that's the thing that's addicting. It's that access to the hive mind. And so I think that if Truth Social and Parler and Getter, they realize that they're part of a hive mind and that's their value, and that they allow aggregation from other sites, then we'll have a very much more highly dynamic internet. Right now, I think the only person that gets this is Elon Musk. And I'm really excited about what he's doing. He's really cleaning up and he's kicking out, lack for a better term, the communists that have infiltrated the company. Like, you know, when they said 75%, I didn't believe that 75%, but it turns out that it's probably more than 75% has been fired. I get it. I used to work at YouTube and Google, and I can tell you that the amount of infiltration by these communists, like, it sounds like a wacko conspiracy, but when you see it and live through it, I tell you, it's absolutely real. The people are absolutely brainwashed, and it doesn't matter how bad the media lies, and it's proven that they lied, they will always go along with whatever the media says. So right now, you know, he's had to clean out a whole bunch of saboteurs of the company, and you know, you saw the resignation of all these, you know, high profile people. And that's really a good thing, right? They don't belong there. And if there's one person that can turn this all around, it's Elon Musk. And I think that if Elon Musk gets the advertiser story and nails it, then he's going to come after YouTube. He's going to come after Google search. He's going to come after Facebook, and he's going to give them a run for the money. And guess what? All those other companies are just as infiltrated as Twitter is. Which means that they've got poor performance, they've got old tools, they've got an old way of doing things. If Elon Musk comes in there, wipes the slate clean, reboots it, they're going to be with this clean slate advantage. And I see that Twitter could become, you know, essentially almost like a new monopoly within the tech space and social media space, because there will be nothing more that we trust rather than an open, transparent platform. And I think that Elon Musk is going to bring Twitter closer to that than we've ever seen before.
That's amazing. Zach, what's the best way to follow you? You got blast.video. Are you on any of the social media sites? Can people follow your work?
I am. Twitter.com/perpetualmaniac. My DMs are open. You can also see my Google leaks at my website, zachvoorhees.com.
Zach Voorhees, thank you so much for all that you have exposed, all that you're doing, and thank you for spending some time with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Alex. It's a pleasure.
All righty, folks. That was Zach Voorhees here on Conversations That Matter. Thanks for tuning in. Please share this video out. You know the algorithms are not going to help us, so we depend on you. Thanks for watching. Until next time, God bless you all.